tapping around, swiping vertically, integrating functions, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 195, Connections. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the episode, or show for that matter. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil here. Got a pretty exciting week for everybody, so I'll jump right into it. A lot of different things going on everywhere, basically. And then I'll round it out with an app review and a Chromebook quick tip. So that'll basically be our Android week. So to jump into the headlines for this week, Google Play All Access expanded further into South America. So countries like Ecuador and I believe Nicaragua and a few others, is somewhere around 9 countries, now have Google Play All Access. So if you want Google's version of their streaming service, then definitely check it out. Motorola sent out their invitations for an event on September 4th, so we'll see exactly what it is, but the continuing speculation is that it'll be the Motorola X Plus One and the Motorola or the Moto 360, so we'll see exactly what the new announcements are. And that's basically about it. There's not too much going on, but if the rumors are correct, we'll see a couple of new devices on the 4th. And finally, the Android x86 stable build for Android 4.4 was released. So if you want to have or make your own desktop Android environment, then definitely check that out. It is pretty cool. I haven't tested it myself, but it is one of those things that is hardware specific. So definitely be careful, but it also seems like it is something that is worth checking out. As far as the apps news for this week, the Kindle app was updated to now have a couple of cool new features. The first is immersive mode. So if you are reading a book and don't want to see the or get interrupted with notifications, then it now has that. And there's also now lock screen audiobook compatibility. So if you are listening to an audiobook through the Kindle app and you don't want to unlock your device, you now have that control as well. If you use the Field Trip app that is part of the Niantic projects, then you will now be able to get the various different notifications they offer through Google Now. So if you want those reminders or use Google Now for all your other functions, then this is something that's worth checking out. I don't use Field Trip myself as I don't have as much time these days to travel about, but it is pretty cool that they are integrating that into Google Now. Another Google Now update that it itself got is that it will now show you alternative flights when your scheduled flight is delayed. So if you do need to book another flight or reschedule, or if you just want to know that your flight is delayed, Google Now will show that to you along with those alternative flights. So it gives you those benefits if you do need to get to your destination that much faster. Box got an update to now have something called Box Notes. It's integrated into the app so that you can now have easier collaboration and note-taking while you're on the go. So if you do need to label your files or show change logs and that sort of thing, then it is definitely worth checking out. If you are a Google Plus user and have a Chromecast, the Google Plus app got updated to now allow casting various media features from your Google Plus stream via your Chromecast. So things like pictures, videos, and slideshows, and I would assume animated GIFs are also going to be able to be casted via your Chromecast, so definitely get that update. The YouTube Smart TV app is getting an update to now have more of a material design and get a refreshed UI. So that's something that I will be checking out soon on my own Smart TV to see how it comes out or make sure I get that as soon as possible. I know I kind of don't like the current UI of it, so we'll see how much better this new version is. For those of you who want a more social camera app, the HTC Zoe app is now in beta for select devices. So basically what it'll let you do is create video slideshows to be able to share to the Zoe feed or to various social networks or via email, SMS, for basically to most places that you can share various whatever you want. I do say selected devices because not all devices are supported at the moment. The weird thing about this rollout is that, for example, my old Samsung Captivate is able to install it, but my new Moto X is not. So just one of those things that's kind of odd, but I guess keep checking the Play Store to make sure, see when your device is compatible. I'm definitely doing that, as most of my media is on my Moto X and not my old Captivate. I could just as easily transfer, but to me that's not really worth it, and it's too much of a pain for the slideshow feature, but we'll see. It looks like they should have a final release later this year, but I don't know. But it does look like a nifty enough app, and it does seem to make it easier to create slideshows, especially with different themes and a musical background. Google Chrome is getting a back-end update where it will now start listing downloads that may be questionable at the time of download. So if it's possible that there's a possibility that it has malware or a virus in it, they will let you know before you download it. Just kind of heads up kind of thing to be safe. There are certain third-party antivirus products that do that as well, but if you want to be safe and use Google's security features, and that's where that kind of comes in. Pocket Cast got an update this week to now allow toggling the auto download on mobile hotspots. So I want to assume that this is only for your 3G or 4G data, but if you are in a place, let's say at a Starbucks or hotspot or something like that, and you don't want to have your podcast auto download, then that's where I see this feature definitely helping out, because the connection usually isn't that fast, so I don't want to really worry about podcast downloading and not being able to do other things as fast as possible. So it's a pretty nifty toggle. I'll test it out next time I'm at a hotspot and see how well it works, but that feature is now available. There's other bug fixes and improvements and that sort of thing as always, but that is a notable feature for this update. Google Voice Search is getting an update. I haven't seen it roll out to me just yet, but the update is now allowing the ability to search using multiple languages. So if English is not your native language, or if you are learning another language and you're using two languages at the same time, Voice Search should now be able to notice a difference between the two languages and automatically continue to search and know that you are speaking another language and search everything using the same language or something along those lines. But definitely a good update for people who do speak more than one language. And finally, the Apex Notifier app was released. It's more of an Android Wear app, but it's one of those, or it's an app that will show you the notification on your Android Wear device, what the battery percentage is on your actual smartphone device. So basically, if it's just going to keep showing you your percentage, and then you can also be notified when your device is at a certain percentage. So if you're at 15% or 20%, or basically if your battery is getting low, you'll get notified on your smartwatch. But that is all for that. So with that, I will now jump into the devices for this week. So to start it off, Google sent out an update this week that all updates will have to run through them for Android Wear. And this is regardless of the manufacturer. So this is basically their way of kind of controlling the Android Wear marketplace and being sure that all updates are timely and proper, follow the Android Wear guidelines and Google guidelines for that matter as well. So just a kind of a back-end thing, just in case you're wondering why if everything gets updated on a regular basis, that's going to be the reason why. The CyanogenMod 11S300 was released this week for the OnePlus One. It basically updates the device to Android 4.4.4, has improved touch and gesture support, but adds a new feature called Clear Image. What this does is it takes 10 pictures at the same time, or around the same time, I guess it's 10 consecutive images, and merges them into one image to get the clearest possible picture. So this is something that I actually want to test out. I don't have that, but I'll probably be looking around for other camera apps that do the similar thing. I would like to see how 10 pictures of various ranges merged together turns out, and see how much better that is than over just standard HDR, where it takes around 3 to 5 pictures or something like that. If you have an LG G3, it got its YouTube update this week. Now has a very specific update to now let you watch videos at 2560 2560 by 1440 resolution, so even higher than the standard 1080p video or even 720 videos you can watch on most other devices. This week, Samsung announced a new device called the Galaxy Alpha. It has a 4.7 inch screen, 12 megapixel camera, 1860 milliamp hour battery, 6.7 millimeters thin, and comes with a quad or octa core processors depending on your region. But the main draw that's going to be for this particular device and is expected to roll out to other Samsung Galaxy devices is that it has a metallic frame rather than the standard plastic that you see on current Samsung devices. So if you're intrigued to see kind of what the Samsung roadmap is for the physical build quality of their devices, then look into the Samsung Galaxy Alpha. Acer announced a new Chromebook this week called the Chromebook 13. It's gonna come with a new NVIDIA K1 quad-core processor, and they're releasing three models. Two of the models come with 2 gigs of RAM and 16 gigabytes of storage. The main differentiator here is that lower-end model is going to have a 1366 by 768 screen, and the mid-range version is going to have a 1920 by 1800 resolution screen. The third model has a 1920 by 1080 resolution screen, but comes with 4 gigs of RAM. So it's worth checking out if you like Acer as a product. Currently, all three models are only in white, so it's also depending on if you want a white laptop or not, but it's worth checking out. I mean, it's one of the newer models, and if you want a Chromebook, it's always worth checking out. The price range is at that $250 to $350 range. And finally, the AT&T Moto X this week got the Android 4.4.4 update. I actually did get that update earlier. I didn't want to say anything before because I'm part of the soak test, so I'm not sure if it was part of the program or not. If memory serves, I'm kind of not allowed to say it until it's official release, but it is rolling out now, so I figure it is safe to say that. But definitely hit the update. They do say that the Sprintvert update is coming soon, so definitely check out for that. But with that, after the short break, I'll jump right into the app review and the Chromebook quick tip. So if you're buying yourself that new Chromebook, or if you already have one, you just got yourself a new Samsung Galaxy S5, and you want to get the best quality sound possible, then check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. They have 7 great styles and 7 great colors, so whatever kind of device you have, whether it's Android, iOS, Windows Phone, a Chromebook, Windows 8 laptop, whatever, you know that the sound will sound awesome, so definitely check it out, and it'll look good with the style that you or look good because they're the style that you like. All headphones are noise reducing and very durable, so you'll always get really good sound, and they'll be good to go no matter where you're at, whether you're at the gym, at home, at work, anything like that. And they have a really awesome warranty, so if you ever have any troubles, basically let them know. They'll give you an RMA number, send you a new unit, you send back the old ones. So but if you're ever curious about the specifics of that exchange policy, then you can always contact them. They're happy to help you out. And when you use the promo code GEEK, that's G-E-E-K, you'll get an extra 1/3 off your order, so you can save some money while getting yourself a brand new pair of headphones. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/tweak and use the promo code GEEK at checkout to get your brand new pair of headphones today. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. So with that, I'll jump right into the app review for this week and then the quick tip. So this week, an app called TapPath was released. This app is released by the same developer as Action Launcher and Link Bubble. His name is Chris Lacey. And so what TapPath does is it allows you to customize what single, double, and triple tapping links on your device does. So the default, I believe, was something like single tapping will open will launch your browser, double tapping will launch the share menu, and I think the third click is something like copy to clipboard or some other option like that. But basically, let's say you are viewing links on Facebook or on a web browser or whatever, and you want to single click to save it to Instapaper, double click to launch the share menu, and third triple click to copy to clipboard, then this app will will register those clicks and perform the actions based on your tap, or whatever, however it registers the number of taps. Basically, the only background setup you need to do for this app is to set it as your default browser so that it can register the taps. And from there, you can customize it if you want based on what you want your single, triple, or single, double, or triple clicks to do. You don't have to change anything if you want, or if you want to rearrange them, you can do that as well. But once you've got that configured, you're pretty much done. The app does also allow you to set up, or like more of configure, how fast or slow it registers your initial click or a single, or sorry, initial tap. Because if you do a faster tap registry, it's basically 0.2 seconds, then it basically, if you're really, really fast of a, like super fast in tapping, then it'll narrow that down a little bit. But let's say you have an older device, so tapping is a little bit slow in the registry, or you're not that fast in tapping, then you can slow it down up to 0.6 seconds, so it takes a little bit longer to register that initial tap, and so it gives you more time to do the double and triple tapping. That's kind of what I had to do. I had to push it up all the way to the max, so it gives me more time to get into the double and triple tapping. Mostly the triple tapping, because the default tap sensitivity was kind of fast, so I didn't want to lower it. But once you get that configured for your device and how fast you generally tap, it works beautifully. So just be warned that if you notice that the double and triple tap is not really working for you, that may be the reason. But the beauty of it is it enhances the shareability of links. So if you're in, for example, for me, I find that I'm in Facebook quite a bit. And I don't, like, for me, it's that extra step of having to load a link so it opens my browser and then it saves to Instapaper. Well, instead, I have my single tap automatically load the share menu. So if I'm in Facebook or even Google Plus for that matter, I single tap, it launches a share menu, and I can quickly share, save that article or save that web page to Instapaper. The only drawback with the Facebook side is that it launches the browser redirect, so it may not always save to Instapaper, but I can, for example, copy to the clipboard and then launch the browser. I can just double tap to launch the browser when I'm in Facebook, or if I'm in, for example, Google Plus or Twitter, then single touching will save to Instapaper, or it'll launch the share menu, for example, and I can save a lot more quickly, and I don't have to leave with my stream, and I can keep moving because I know that it'll automatically be where I want it to be to check out later. So that's really all there is for the app at the moment. It's already got an initial update to work better with Chrome beta and fix a couple of bugs and improve the performance a little bit. It is available in Google Play for 99¢, so it does cost you money. I didn't see if he has a free version available just yet. I would assume he might go the way of Link Bubble and do something like a free version to not be able to customize the shortcuts. But if you pay for it, then you can do those customizations. But don't quote me on that. But in any case, it is definitely one of those things that makes tapping links that much more customizable, especially since we do like to customize on our Android platform. So for me, it's one of those things where single tapping and double tapping comes definitely it becomes much more handy in single and double tapping, because I can more quickly get to or do more with the links a lot more quickly than I would otherwise, and I can continue what I'm doing, especially if I just want to save an article, let's say in Google Plus to read later, and I want to continue browsing through my feed. So I definitely recommend it. It is worth checking out. If you want more of my opinion, you can always definitely get in touch with me, but it is worth checking out to customize how you interact with links on your smartphone. But that is all for that. So with that, I'll jump right into the Chromebook quick tip for this week, which is two-finger scrolling. So for me, when I'm using my Chromebook, I find that clicking and my mouse, especially on web pages, is kind of, it's not a hassle, but for me, I'm used to the scroll wheel on my mouse for desktop and laptop computers. So what's a good way to do that on my Chromebook? I may not always have an external mouse plugged into it, so what else can I do? And that's where a little bit of research turned up that I can, that the Chromebook mouse actually supports two finger gestures. So as long as the mouse is over a web page or whatever page you're in, you can use two fingers to slide down and slide up, and it will perform the swipe, or sorry, the scroll actions. So you can scroll up and down on whatever page you are on just by using your two finger swipe. So it is pretty nifty. It's nothing fantastic of a feature, but it definitely makes it easier for me to navigate a page just by scrolling with my two fingers. So that's really all there is for that quick tip. It's actually really quick compared to, I know, last week's Wi-Fi File Explorer, but this is one of those things where if you want to scroll easy, there is, or more easily, there is that option for or on the Chromebook. So that is really all for this particular episode of the Android Realm podcast. So if you want to get in touch with me, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. And of course, you can find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.com. And of course, be sure to check out our friends over at Tweaked Audio. We thank them for their support. We hope you show them your support as well. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.